walk with Jesus, we have looked at everything he, most everything, tried to hit the high points of what he did from the moment he came to when he called his disciples and how he prepared them to become his church. Because he said, I will build my church and even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He came to build the church. That was his purpose. Ultimately, the eternal experience of the kingdom of God starting now to take us to heaven. So, in this understanding, we began to look at the point where he said, okay, guys, you're now ready to do this. I'm going to leave, and I'm going to send another. But do not go until you have received this power that I'm sending. Do not go. Stay there. And we saw that when this happens, and we're going to reference this in a few minutes again, but when this happened, Jesus told them to go, wait, don't do anything. You know, he's left. He says, you wait for the power from on high. Now, think about this. They didn't know what that meant. In the back of the room, I could see somebody raise their hand, maybe Peter sitting in the back. Excuse me, Jesus. Yeah, what's up? What's this going to be like? How do I know? You'll know. Great answer. That's not biblical. I made that part up. But you'll know. He didn't tell them exactly what they're going to experience, except they're going to experience power. For what? To be the believers he wants them to be, but to fulfill the mission that he's sending them on. The mission is to go into the world and to tell the world about Christ, and that people will come to Jesus and become the disciples, that they will learn to obey all that he has taught, they will follow his ways, and they will become the church that realizes this truth. He said, the greatest commandment in this teaching has been to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And he says, but I'm going to add something to it. I'm going to make a new commandment. The new commandment I add to this is that you are to love one another as I have loved you. And the world will know that you are my disciples by how you love one another. The world will not know that we're his disciples by the buildings we have, which are great and wonderful. They will not know we're his disciples by whether chairs are filled or not filled, whether they're big churches, little churches, house churches, whatever they are. They will know that we are his disciples by how we will love one another. And the world is watching us. When someone comes into our congregation for the very first time, the testimony that I've heard with one who's been recently here for the last few years, I said, what did you look for when you came? Did you look and see how great the preaching is? No. She didn't say it wasn't good, but you know, whatever was going on, the music, she said, no. I came and I watched how you all responded to each other, how you interacted, what you did with each other. And she says, that's what touched me. This, the love for one another, that we don't create. We don't have little seminars on how to do that. But what we do know is this. Jesus said to those disciples, you will go into this world, but you will go with power from on high. And that power that will come will equip you to do one thing, mission. It's the end, he says. And that mission is to go into the world to tell the world about Jesus. And so for the last 3 years or so, we've been growing and understanding Spirit-led evangelism and sharing Christ without fear and seeing all the wow things that God does. But it wasn't until they were empowered from on high that they could go. Picture this, and we've read this before. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to get somewhere with this. They had no idea exactly how this was going to play out. They were there praying. Now remember, the thing we looked at is the key to unlocking the power of God and the work of the Holy Spirit within the lives of all of us, within the lives of the church, is prayer. He said, do not go You wait. And it says that it went into the upper, to a room of 120 people. Men, women, everyone were praying. And when they were praying, this happened. Now, about 23 years ago, there was a jingle that came popular. I'm going to sing it. It's not. It's called I Like Mike. And for those of you who may know what I'm referring to, I Like Mike became the phrase for like Michael Jordan. How to be like Michael Jordan. As a matter of fact, he printed something that gave 20-some ways in which if you do these things that I've done, you'll be like me. How to be like Mike. And I began to think about that and realize that, you know, our whole life is inundated with how to be this, how to be that, how to be this. We can Google anything we want right now and find out how to do it. We can Google whatever we want information-wise. So my wife and I will watch a TV show and the advertisements will have to do with pills that we can take to be healthier, how to live a healthier life, how to do this and how to do that. And so I began to think about this and I began to realize, and I did some fun search, and we'll get there in a few moments to the word, but I did a few fun searches on how to be. That's what I looked up. Well, how to be is these are the things I found out. How to write a book and the 7 secrets that it'll sell. How to sell a website. How to be online sales closers. Business lessons from Amazon's CEO. Lessons on how to start up a business. Reasons why you join a, this one cracks me up, a mastermind group. Principles for successful business in this day and age. Secrets to be a happy entrepreneurial life. And life lessons from Steve Jobs. Now, I could go on and on for hours reading all of these, and I began to think about something. As the world has all these how-tos, the how-tos are part of church experience today, too. We are told how to. I'll give you examples. 5 steps. These are online by men and women who are successful. And I don't mean this, don't even try to think who these people are because you won't. I find people that are not very popular, meaning you know who they are. 5 steps in starting a church. You want to start a church? Get ordained online. And the best ordination online that you can get solves a lot of issues. 2, it's the best to get good legal advice to set you in good stand. 3, examine the reasons why you want to start a new church. 4, if you want this church to be different than anything that's already established, look around and come up with an idea that's only valid and yours alone, on which you will define spirituality. Start a church that has benefits. Understanding what people want and that you'll provide those benefits. Then I came across one that said, how to gain church members. 3 points. Preach against other churches to prove that you offer something different. Establish an open door policy. Visit other churches and tell the attendees to come to your church. Now, this is real. And there's so much more, but then I began to think about this. The how-to. Guess what? There's how to be a Christian. There are so many how-tos. I'm going to give you a few of them on how to be a Christian. How to be that. 21 ways to be a better Christian. These are all books, by the way. 21 ways to be a better Christian. Finding your best life. 7 keys to become a better you. Starting your best life now. How to eat and stay thin. The approval fix. The laws of prosperity. How to overcome stress, anxiety, depression. prosperity promises. The top 10 things to remember when you're closing a church on how to do that. 5 good reasons why a church should close. Now, fortunately, as I read them, we don't fit the 5. Thank goodness. But everything is there. And so I began to think about this, and I began to think, my word, all of this how-to, and that's what it is, how-tos. How-to. And I stopped and went, wait a minute. All of these books that are written and all of these things that are presented by people. And so I thought, okay, if they can have the audacity to do this, or the insight and the courage and the reason to do it is important to them, then is there somebody else that wrote a book that we should maybe pay attention to? And there is. The author of this was named Jesus of Nazareth, the Galilean. That's not sarcastic, nor is it be facetious. This is where we've come, where I realize, why are we doing this? Why all these weeks? The purpose of this is to help you and me grasp something that we may not realize. And we may know it and rejoice and say, thank you, Lord, that I got that. Or we're challenged to evaluate what we are as a church and as a congregation. So the point of it is this. I went and we've been with Jesus, the author of the book. Now, he didn't write it as we think. You got that already down. But he had 5 men, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, Jude. I think I got him. Peter. Yes. Peter. Thank you. Peter, Paul. Yes. He got those men and they wrote the book. They wrote the manual on how. Did I miss any more? No? Anyways, he wrote the manual. I might have missed one. I don't think. But anyways, he wrote the manual on how to become what he came to do. He wrote the manual on what his church is to be like. Remember when he said this? I will build my church. It's his. My church. So if that's true, then is there anything we can look at to see if there's something we can learn from that? And the answer is yes, we can. And we've heard him tell us this. He walked with his disciples. We had a reality walk with Jesus and his disciples and how he chose them all and what he did with them. And then comes the point of what he says, now I've trained you, I've taught you, and you've learned one thing. You are going to go, and you're going to go into the world to share with the world about Jesus Christ. And the parameters that he gives are everyone. There is no one exclusive or one should be forgotten or not spoken to. That's what his church is to do. Nothing more. And I say nothing more, that doesn't minimize it. That's what the church is to do. And he equipped his disciples to do that, to go into the world. But they needed something before they went, which we're looking at. But he showed them what to preach and what to do, and he showed them how to be. Simple. Love one another as I have loved you. And realize the world will know that you're my disciples by how you love each other. You can do whatever you want to have the world believe and look at you as a Christian and say you really are a disciple. But they will know the church is the disciples by virtue of how we relate to each other. And the relating to each other is not just here. We can all relate pretty nicely here. Pretty well, and we do, and you do a great job. But it's what we do out there. It's what we are like when we're talking about one another, or just commenting, whatever it might be. The awareness with each other that we are demonstrating a witness to the world of how we treat one another. Boy, that flows big time into everything we're about as believers. So, that's what it is. That's what it's about. And we've been walking with Jesus, and now we're going to walk for a bit with the one he sends, and that's the Holy Spirit. And these verses in chapter 2 of Acts are very familiar, but I'm going to read some excerpts from it. When the day of Pentecost, starting at verse 1, came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now that's the key. Now they're going to experience something out of this power of their lives. And it doesn't say that this is the thing that everybody must experience. It said the power of the Holy Spirit. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Wow. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And the other tongues is very clear there that it says they went out, they were speaking in tongues, and you know what? They were speaking in languages that everybody there understood. Count them. 15 dialects, 15 languages by a group of Galileans who were totally half uneducated. They were speaking 15 different languages. Those people went out speaking what we call, what was referred to as tongues, but they were speaking in languages that everybody there, the Asians understood, each one understood. They understood, they heard, they were speaking in their language. Now that must have been an amazing point. And they looked and said, these guys, what are they talking about? They're talking about God and how wonderful he is and the great things he's doing. And you know, these are marvelous, but you know, it's early in the day, so they might be drunk. No, maybe no. No, but probably not. They were declaring the wonders of God, it says at the end of verse 11, in their own tongues, meaning the languages of these people, the 15 different ones. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some made fun of them and said they had too much wine. Then Peter stands up and he begins to address the crowd. Fellow Jews, verse 14, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Verse 15, these people are not drunk, as some of you think. It's only 9 in the morning. No, what is happening is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. What was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now the question we want to ask, did they get something we don't have? Was this just for them, this power of the Holy Spirit? We're not talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about the offices of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about him. He who will come. Jesus is sending, promised by the Father. Now, Joel says something. Peter quotes Joel, and it says in verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Guys, don't go anywhere until you have my spirit, the Holy Spirit. The power of God in your life, the very power that raised Christ from the dead will dwell in you. Don't go until you have this. Don't be a church until you get this. And that in that point, they were then being told, this is available to all people. We're just not the recipients of this. We're not the special gang. This is for all of us. This is for everyone. I'll pour out my spirit on all people. And it talks about the sons and daughters and young men and old men would dream dreams and they will be able to move in the realm of understanding the spiritual realities of God. Even my servants, both men and women, boy, that's a cool one. I'll pour out my spirit. Because to those good Jews sitting there, men yes, women no. But he said, even men and women, this is not accidental that this was there prophesied hundreds of years before this by Joel, the prophet. These distinct details are amazing because what God was now going to do was he was launching his church. Jesus was launching his church into the world and he was saying to them, do not go out there and discriminate against anyone. Do not decide, yes, you should. No, you shouldn't. You should or you should. No, you don't deserve it. No way. You've done this and this and this. You're cannibals in a small South American country and you eat people. You don't deserve the gospel. We're not going there. And he who went was killed by them, followed by his wife, who then led that whole community to Christ. No one is exempt from this. Everyone who has come to receive Christ in their lives receives this power. This power. And he said, and he goes on and says, I will show you wonders in heaven and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon of blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. We can get caught up on these little details thinking that's what we want to have happening with us, for us, in this world, in these churches. But that's not what this is about. He's saying there's going to be some phenomenal things take place. You're not going to understand them. But they're going to be beyond imagination. And then he summarizes it by saying, and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He can save us all. He is capable of bringing salvation to everyone. To everyone. How do we be a church? I'm not here going to legislate this. I'm not now coming up with some cool ideas that you're going to get laid on you a sheet of this is what you're going to do. What it is, say to us, is we need to call out to God and understand, do we have the power of the Holy Spirit corporately and in our lives? And I'm not talking about the gifts that say you do or you don't, because that's not biblical to say that about any believer. But to say the power of the Holy Spirit can reside within us. And how does the Holy Spirit become released into this world? How do we become released? Prayer. Pray. It wasn't the Holy Spirit that happened first. It was their prayer lives. They corporately prayed together. And we looked at the picture in Acts chapter 2, where it showed what they were doing. They were devoted, it says, to prayer. And to some other things, to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and breaking of bread, that relationship. If you look at that, it has to do with they were devoted to the things that have to do with them and God and with one another. And thousands of people got saved out of that. That was the mission. And there is no place in the Word of God that tells you and me we're exempt from that. Absolutely not. That's on my life. And that's on your life. And what we as leaders need to be doing, and I'm not pointing any finger at any other church, whether it's good or bad or whatever they're doing, what I can only know about us, what we need to be sure we're doing is we are taking and equipping the saints to do the work of ministry, to share Christ in the world. Not by a plan or a program, but by an understanding and how that applicates itself into your personal life. And that is the Holy Spirit is in us. And when the Holy Spirit is in us and we're praying to be used by God through the power of the Holy Spirit, He is going to lead us into moments where we are going to go, wow. And that's what we've talked about, the wow moments here. We've testified to these over and over. Wow. What occurs? You're being led by the Spirit to a moment, a parking lot where you, why am I here? Here comes somebody that asks a simple question. It's not man's ways. It's the Holy Spirit's ways in your life. Spirit-led evangelism. Spirit-led sharing Jesus. I don't want to just use that word evangelism. Sharing Jesus with the world. And we were trained on how to, when we talk, what to say. But that's not the key. The realization that, my word, I can do this. There's something in me that leads me. The Holy Spirit leads you to a person. You may be in the line of a grocery store. You may be somewhere, the last place you ever experienced, and you hear somebody say something. And you go, ah, oh yes. Now you respond to that, or you don't. But if your heart is committed, and you're under the power of God's Spirit to lead you and guide you, which He is doing and which He will, you will see yourself thrust into moments where it will be the opportunity. Will everybody receive Christ that you share with? No, that's not the promise. The promise is to proclaim the message. And there will be those that will say, yes, I want to receive Christ into my life. And then you have the privilege to pray for them. And we have the privilege to bring them and to baptize them and to nurture them and encourage them. Some of them will be here in the church. Some of them will be out there. And some will die when it's finished, of which we've all just heard of stories about this. But they're now in heaven. They did not understand, they did not anticipate and expect exactly what would take place, only this. He would give them a mission and a people that will hear. That's what you can hold on to. You know, there is not one of us in this congregation that can have this. Well, I'm not used to talking, you might say. Or I get nervous about these things. Or I do this. Or whatever. It's just, don't criticize yourself. Don't put yourself down. Don't walk in the shame and the blame that the enemy wants to give you because you've lived a life that might have been horrendous. And you know, you fail and Christ has changed your whole life and you still find you fail. And that's clear and that's taught in God's word how to deal with all of that. But the key is this, begin to realize you can be this in the world. We can be that. When we wrote the Constitution, the bylaws, I brought to the elders a line, and I thought, yeah, I'm not going to say this. Now, yes. And the line in there is that we will be a congregation that this community cannot ignore. Well, that sounds kind of arrogant. When we are being led by the Spirit, and you are touching people's lives out there. And we're already hearing about this, and we're hearing about things individually that you're doing, and we're hearing ideas that are coming to say, hey, I got an idea, let's do this, and we can do this corporately together. The purpose of it all is two things, fulfill the mission that Christ wants us to live, and that is to share with the world that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior. And that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and you can be led by the Holy Spirit because in Galatians it says, be led by the Holy Spirit. Be in step with the Holy Spirit. I've told you a couple stories, a process that I've been through with someone. This person is living a horrendous life and they connected with me and in that connection, we got to talking. They knew me really well. They grew up around me. We grew up together. And the person said, you know, well, maybe what is this all about? And I said, okay, let's get together. We got together and talked about it. And then later on, I said, well, now let's get together, you and your husband. How about if we come? They all know you and your husband. How about if they, my house is a mess. You wouldn't even want to come in my house and sit in there. And that's true. You wouldn't want to do that. I said, well, that's okay. You guys just come meet me somewhere at a restaurant. We can sit and talk. And in her voice that has been harmed by smoking and drinking, that guttural sound, she said, okay. I got a phone call. I told her that when the holidays are all over and we're back into what's normal life, whatever that is, we're going to get together. I had her on my list to call. My phone rang this week. Denny, when are we going to get together? I didn't do this. The Holy Spirit's doing it. He led me to a moment. That's not because I'm the pastor. She's not asking me about this because I'm the preacher of this church. She has a need to receive Jesus, and so does her husband. They're lost. And now I better get on the stick and do it and follow up. For if I don't, I will be totally disobedient to the mission that he sent me to be. And the mission that you're sent to be. We'll mess it up sometimes and we'll blow it. But we'll do it. And you will be surprised at how you can do this. Don't ever think, I can't do this. No, you cannot. But you can do it by being redeemed and understanding what all of that's about and having the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. We as a congregation pray a lot, but he's calling us to even more prayer and more corporate times that we can pray together and be together, crying out to God to do the works that we know in our hearts we're asking him to do, proclaiming and asking and coming to him with that. And we can grow in this. We're not going to buy a room and get a whole bunch of people in there and start to try to pray. We're just going to grasp the truth And we're going to do that individually, when you're by yourself, with your spouse, when you're together. You know, let's pray right now. Okay, Cindy will say, Dan, let's pray about this. Okay, let's do it now. Or I'll say something. Or those kinds of things can happen. But it's not just me. It's not just her. It's not just us. That's not an example for you how to be. It's an example of how to be led by the Spirit, that you have a heart to see God's people God wants to touch. And guess what? There's hundreds of them, thousands of them out there. 80% of Mannheim is unchurched. 80%. So when you look at our churches and you see all of our churches and the numbers, there's a lot of numbers that come to some of them. A couple thousand, three, that's awesome. That's only 20% of the people. There's still 80%. And so our mission then becomes this. But again, he said, go, pray for the Holy Spirit's power in your life. And if you start doing that more than you have ever done, and you start focusing on that more than you've ever focused, and you understand that his power can work in your life, it called fishermen to find that truth. He called revolutionary to find that truth. He called a man that was hated by everybody, a cheat, a tax person. He found that truth. And we can go on and on with each of those 12. One died, killed himself because of his life, but then another was brought on. But it was 120 that grasped it. He chose. You're here because it was your idea. I know I'm not just be here at Grace. You're here as a believer because he called you. You are chosen by him. Did you deserve it? If you think you did, you're wrong. If you're trying to get it by virtue of good behavior, you're wrong. The only way you can realize it is that heart cry in you is calling you to him. And that's what he's done. And he said, and everyone then who calls in the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and you will be saved. There's a work going on. There's a work going on in people's lives out there. He knows who they are. And he's going to lead us with fun. You know, the part about this is not a boring thing. It's pretty exciting. It's a joyous thing to do this. And it said, we were taught by Bill Fay that when we do this, you're going to find a joy in your life as a Christian that you've never known. We as a church no longer can be considered that the greatest sin that the church commits is to never share Jesus to the world. That's no longer our call. That's no longer our life. That's no longer our commitment. Just relax. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. We as a church, the Holy Spirit to powerfully work in our lives, and that the Holy Spirit will do his work and take you to places. Will they all be successful? Uh-uh. I've been attempting to connect with a person who's got tons of questions about faith in Christ. And I've tried. And we haven't connected. That's not to blame anybody. But I'm not going to quit. I'll keep trying. Because the initial connection was brought to me. And that's what I'll do. What will come of it? I don't know. I have no idea. I know what I'd like to see come from it. That person will bow his knee to receive Christ and his answers will all be settled in one moment of time. That's what we strive for. Persevere it, look for it, and be excited to have it. That last thing I read to you, the church needs to offer benefits. I love that. You go for a job, one of the biggest questions you're going to ask the employer, hopefully ask sooner or later, what are my benefits? What are your benefits? Your benefit is to understand that he wants to use you into this world to share Jesus with a way that is relaxed, spiritually normal, fun, exciting, and an adventure. That's our benefit. And whatever we do and whatever we say is to bring glory to him with thanksgiving in our hearts. I close with this truth, and I want to ask you if you get this or not. My Sunday school class that we're studying right now is in Colossians, the first chapter, and every one of them should be able to answer this with a second. And that is, what is the essence of being a Christian? Colossians chapter 1 tells you, the mystery that was hidden from the ages has now been revealed in Jesus Christ. Here's the mystery revealed. Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Let that work. Think about that. Meditate on that. And realize that He in you is that power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that Peter later wrote in his word down in time that they all spake as were moved by the Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that that is a potential possibility for it. That is reality. We can live that. And I just thank you, Lord, that we can be relaxed. We don't need to be in law. We don't need to be condemned. We don't need to be judged. We just realize that there is within us the capacity and the power that Christ is in me, the hope of glory. And He is the Holy Spirit in me. And the Holy Spirit in me wants to have me share Jesus. That's my mission. And all the other thing is fluff, but wonderful. And so, Lord, help us to be like that. Help us, Lord, more than ever to let burning in my heart and my mind, my mission, my job, and how you've made it possible for me to do this successfully, as a matter of fact. Lord, we know we may have to give our lives for that. We may be criticized. We may be persecuted. We may be all kinds of things. But what we want to best do is to know that we're fulfilling the mission. And Lord, I pray for every one of us, those who will listen to this online, those who will listen to this on CDs, as many as they will or not, that they can realize, yes, this is what I can have and this is what I can do. And Lord, I said enough. It's your work, not mine. I can't convince anyone, but you can, by your word and by your revelation in our hearts. And may we be a congregation, Lord, that grows more and more and more in the ability, the stories, the experiences of living this life, an exciting adventure, sharing Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. James?
With all of my heart.